All right, scripture reading this morning is out of Colossians, which will be chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. It'll be on the screen. And then it's also in the bulletin, just two verses today. Hear the word of God. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. May God bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Father, thank you for your loving grace. We fail all the time at saying thank you and being thankful in our hearts. So we thank you for your grace. Thank you for letting us grow. Thank you for the amazing truths we've been able to sing about how deep your love for us is. And we can always say, it is well with our soul, and you always deserve praise. But it does go against our nature to be thankful, not the new nature you gave us, but that old man that hangs on. And so as we go over these couple verses today, speak to us, convict us, change us, encourage us, and give us a determination to live what we've already been given. If there's anyone here today, Lord, that you've not opened their heart and truly saved them, I pray you do that today. In Christ's precious name, amen. Ask and you shall receive. Now, don't do that today. All right. You know, several years ago, I kind of started watching NASCAR. And I noticed at the very beginning of the races, there'd be a couple of cars that would just, after like one lap or two laps, would just be off the track. Because you'd see them up at the top, you know, and I'm thinking, well, the announcers didn't say anything, they're just stopped racing. So I asked my brother-in-law, who's kind of watched it for years, and I said, what's the deal? And he said, well, what happens is, if they can get to the race, if they can qualify, even if they get last place, they make a lot of money. So they can make a ton of money by just even finishing last, or even if they could somehow qualify, you know, every position, you make more money. Sometimes teams, that they have multiple teams, they'll fund one team that just runs one lap, and the money from that last place or next to last or whatever will help fund the team they're really trying to win. And so I looked it up on the internet, and lo and behold, my brother-in-law was correct. But there's a phrase for it. It's called start and park. And it's the idea of starting a race and then just parking to save money and to make money. You don't have to have a pit crew. You don't have to replace tires. You save on engine wear, all kinds of things just to get a little prize money. Start and park. How disappointing it would be if our Christian life, if God started us and said, just park. Just run a lap or just run two laps and just quit. How disappointing it would be if there were no promises once God saved us. If God just started us, no promises, nothing expected in our life. We were never expecting to change or to grow, or God wasn't powerful enough to change us, to grow us. There was nothing more to learn. There was no deeper commitment for us to make, no deeper relationship, no deeper gratitude. No thanksgiving. What a tragic disappointment would it be? It would be if God just said, I saved you from my wrath and my damnation through my son. Now just park it and wait for the trumpet to sound. No, it's totally foreign. Even though, as we've seen in Colossians, God has given us everything we need in the gospel. There is nothing he has forgotten to tell us. There's nothing he has hidden to tell us. There is nobody going to get to heaven who trusted in Christ and God the Father say, oh, I forgot to tell you this. Oh, but you didn't find out this. No, you have everything that you need. But that doesn't mean we just start and park. Our start was just the beginning of our Christian life. And these false teachers were coming into this church at Colossae and telling them that there's much deeper things out there by doing this, this, and this. You didn't get it all at the very beginning. But their appeal was very appealing. Horrible sentence, but you get the idea. What they were teaching was very appealing, because who doesn't want a deeper experience? Who doesn't want a deeper life for God? And it was a very appealing truth. So Paul wrote this letter, don't leave where you started. Your start is just the very beginning. So we're going to look at these two short verses today and kind of highlight what Paul says about that. First of all, your walk comes from your start. Your walk comes from your start. Look at verse 5 or verse 6 here. Therefore. Now, what does that mean? That means what he already said is causing this to be true, or this is the result of what he already said. So in other words, therefore, because you have the Creator, you have the Creator who died on the cross, you have the Creator who holds everything together, you have the Creator who is the preeminent one, you have the Creator in Christ who is the fullness of God, all of these things in chapter 1 that we've already been told here. Therefore, because Jesus is God, he is the Creator, he is all powerful, he is Lord, he is Master, he's the one who died on the cross. Therefore, because of this Jesus, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. You receive something. Paralambano is the Greek word. It's aorist tense, one time's action in the past. You have received, boom, one time. You don't keep receiving, and churches that preach aisle walking, you know, you don't have to walk an aisle this week, and then, well, you said a bad word last week, you got to walk the aisle again. No, you receive, you truly received Christ, and you see this reflected in your life. You have truly taken to yourself by God's supernatural power, Jesus Christ. Therefore, you have received Christ Jesus. And notice he says here, the Lord. As you were taught in the gospel, you received Christ Jesus, the Lord, the Messiah, the Creator, who he always said, already said in chapter 1, the one who came in human flesh but without sin, the one who was able to die and did die. The Creator on the cross, the Creator being beaten, the Creator being spit upon, the Creator having a crown of thorns and a spear in his side and nails in his hands and feet, and who was mocked and made fun of, who bore our sin. You have the hopeless or the helpless looking one on the cross who is anything but helpless. You have received the Lord Jesus Christ. You did not receive the man upstairs. We've all heard that, right? Well, let me talk to the man upstairs. No. You did not receive a superhero. You did not receive an angel. You did not receive some unknown spirit that these people were teaching, which we'll get to. You received the Lord, the Master, Jesus, the earthly one, God in the flesh, and the Christos, the Messiah, into your life. Not some weak, man-made, created being, or some altered, man-made version of Jesus. If you truly were saved, you received unto yourself through the Holy Spirit inside your very being the Creator of the universe. Your start was receiving Jesus Christ. You received the one that we saw in Revelation, whom all creation sings this song, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. You created all things. By your will they existed and were created. To him who sits on the throne, to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever and ever." This is the one you receive. So how can you receive this Lord and just park? How can you receive this Lord and your life not change? How can you receive this Lord and you're just the same as you always were? You have no desire for God. You have no desire for his word. You have no desire for the fellowship of believers. You have no desire to serve him. You have no desire for your heart to be taught, to be convicted, to confess your sin, to grow and change. It's impossible. Your walk dictates your start. It's not a prayer and quit. It's not a walk an aisle and quit. It's not come to church and leave. It's actually walking. Because he started you. And we've seen this word walk before. And by the way, this is imperative in the Greek here. It's a command. You did receive Christ if you're saved. Here's the command. Walk in him. Walk. Walk's a Hebrew word, a Greek word also, which simply means how to conduct your life. Conduct your life based on your start. Your start dictates your walk. In other words, you don't take the steering wheel and turn it to the left and pull into the pits. You walk, you run the race that is set before you, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Now these next things that come up are all passive tense, which means you receive the action from another source, and it's from God. So secondly, not only does your walk come from your start, your growth comes from your roots. Your growth comes from your roots. Okay, therefore, because you receive to yourself this amazing person, Christ Jesus, who is the Lord. By the way, you don't make him Lord. He is Lord. Okay? So walk in him, rooted and built up in him. There's the word rooted. It's passive tense. In other words, having been rooted. Somebody started you. Somebody gave you the roots. It was God through Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. Since you have been rooted deep in the ground, be being built up in him. Now, you all know what roots are, right? Have you ever tried to dig a little bush out of your yard? Just a little tiny bush. I mean, the roots go all the way to Henderson, Kentucky, you know? And it's just absolutely, I saw my neighbor this week. They bought the house and he was hooking up the big strap with his truck onto these just little tiny bushes and revving up his truck. And I mean, it's amazing the strength that come from roots. Well, let me give the official definition of roots since I am not a scientist. The root system of a tree is one of the most important elements, providing several vital functions. Roots store nutrients for the plant during the winter and transport water and minerals during the active part of the growing season. Roots also provide an anchor to the plant, keeping it from toppling during extreme weather conditions. So the roots, now this picture here, roots can grow on top and underneath, but this is so you could see the roots. I mean, look how many of them are and how long they are and the strength they provide for the tree and how they give vital nutrients and water so the tree can grow up. One Greek scholar said that this word here was also used back in the day as a foundation for a building. Same kind of principle, is it not? What's a foundation? It goes deep into the ground so that the building doesn't fall. It's interesting, the World Trade Center that was knocked down. Anybody been in there? Kelly and I went in there. It was an absolutely amazing building. As you look down, you can see the Statue of Liberty, and you saw these big jets that looked that tiny just flying below you. Really fast, amazing, amazing building. But they had to build foundations for both of those buildings. The ground excavated to make the foundation was deposited west of West Street to make the land on which the World Financial Center and Battery Park now stand. So they dug up so much dirt for the foundation, they made more land. 1 million cubic yards moved in 100,000 truckloads filled a 700 by 1,400 foot area, creating $90,000 worth of land. Now, that's a pretty good foundation. If I remember, I looked it up. I think that's about 4 football fields worth of land, something like that. But that's just for the foundation. So what he's saying here is you grow, but it comes because somebody puts you down deep into the ground, and that ground is the person of Christ and what he did. You started firm. You started sure. You started deep. As deep and firm and sure as you possibly can. Here's an old hymn. In fact, I think we sung this a couple weeks ago. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than he has said? That's Colossians. What more can he say than what he's already said? To you who for refuge to Jesus have fled. Now that's pretty awesome. There's nothing else God needs to say to you in the gospel. However, that's just the start. And our growth comes from the start. It comes from the roots that has already been put down in the ground. Let me give you a really fascinating point here. You ready for this one? Because this might shock you. This may really knock your pride level down a couple of notches. You and I are not finished products. Sorry. I know we tend to think we got it together and we're better than a lot of other people, but we are not finished products. We will not be a finished product until the trumpet sound, not my trumpet, but the one that's going to blow in heaven, all right, whether it's symbolic or real, we will, or you die, right? I would recommend waiting for the trumpet, but sometimes we cannot help that. So whichever, until we see Jesus face to face, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is, John tells us. You and I are not fully transformed. However, the fully transformed promise is a guarantee because we were given the roots in the start. That's what Paul is trying to tell these people in Colossae. Most of us have been to St. Louis, right? What do you see even before you get into St. Louis? The arch. I mean, you can see that thing from miles away. The Gateway Arch, the tallest monument in the United States. We see the finished product. But if you ever watch the video of how they made that thing, it is absolutely fascinating. They estimated 13 men would die. Zero died. And in the video, you see these men up there walking around. When they got up high, they're just walking around these beams. You know, they're not hooked. I don't think OSHA was around then. They're not hooked to ropes. I mean, I hook myself up to a rope if I'm just climbing up to the roof of my house. But it's just, and when I watch it, my stomach goes, I feel that little weird thing, you know. And it's absolutely fascinating. They had to build like little railroad track things up both sides where they put this little crane or a derrick, whatever they called it, to get up, to raise things up. And then once they got up to a certain height, they had to build more track. It's absolutely fascinating. But we see the finished product. But that didn't just arrive, did it? It had to be put together piece by piece. Plans had to be followed. It had to be put together and strategically every single day. When they got both ends up together, it was a little bit off. They had to move it back together. Then the sun came out and started to make it expand. So they had to put cold water all over it. And they were racing against time. And they had to hook that thing together and put that final piece in there and bolt it all in. It's just absolutely fascinating. But my point is simply this. It didn't just happen overnight. But they built the foundation of that arch. In fact, there's concrete coming up inside the arch up to a certain point before you get to the tram that takes you up. Have you been in that tram? Listen, if you want a fear experience, get in that tram. You're in there with like 600 other people, and you're like this, and ka-king, ka-king, ka-king. It shifts, and you're just going, Lord, please don't kill me. Give me life. I don't want to die with that person over there, and don't die with that person. It's really pretty little. And once you get to the top, then it's really scary. But anyway, it was the building. It wasn't finished yet. And they had to build it. You and I are not finished yet. We have all we need for the start. We have the gospel. There's nothing God has forgotten to tell us. But God still builds us and constructs us and puts us together, all aimed at completing His project in our life. And we grow not to earn anything from God. We grow because He's building us and we love Him. So I thought about that a little deeper. Here's what God knows when He's building us. God knows where and what we are lacking. Now I can probably look at you and tell you where you're lacking. And you could look at me and tell me where I'm lacking. But we have a hard time seeing ourselves, don't we? You know, we get up in the morning. Boy, you know, when I go to the hospital today, those are some lucky people that get to be around me today. Well, they don't know how blessed they are. You know, we all do it, right? Stephen does it. He texts me every morning. You know what? This world is lucky that I'm here. No. But we all struggle with pride. And we have a hard time seeing our own faults and things. But God doesn't have trouble. He knows where we are lacking. He knows what we are lacking. And God knows exactly what will grow us and build us from the foundation He started. He uses His word. He uses other people to bring in our lives, doesn't He? Sometimes those other people can be annoying. Sometimes they can be cantankerous. Sometimes they can just be loving and friendly. Sometimes they can just be mean. Sometimes they can hurt you. Sometimes they can break your heart. Sometimes they can betray you. We've all been there, right? And so God knows how to allow people into our lives to grow us, to get to the point inside our heart we don't see, to grow us. Because most of us don't grow if we're not what? Stretched. If we're not pushed to grow. How many of you grew to your height today because you decided to grow that tall? No, you didn't. Most of us would have stayed babies. I don't know. Maybe not. No. But we didn't have a choice, did we? We just grew. God is the one in charge. God grows us. He uses life situations, does He not? He puts us in life situations, and I'll guarantee you there are many that I have been through that I would not choose. How about you? I wouldn't have chosen this, that, or the other. In fact, if I knew that was coming, I would have made another decision this way back here. We've all been there, right? But why didn't God stop us from making that decision? He could have, couldn't he? He's the creator. Why didn't God step in and say, you know what, it's going to be rough here. I'm going to stop. Now, I think sometimes he does that by his grace. He does. But sometimes he lets us, doesn't he? Because he knows that we need that. And he wants to use us in that. So life situations, trials, hardships. What great songs we sing. It is well with my soul. Life is hard. Sometimes it's like life is like sea that billows roll. Sometimes it's peace like a river. Life situations, hardships. Whatever God in his wisdom chooses to bring in our lives, having started us with the gospel, now he wants to grow us and build us from that foundation. And God also knows his goal. His goal is not primarily to make you like me or me like you. His goal is to make me like Jesus and you like Jesus. Romans 8:29, to make you and me like Jesus Christ. That's his goal, to be conformed to the image of his son. That's his goal. Romans 8:29 is that verse. So whenever God allows us to make this decision to get us here, it is solely to make us more like Jesus. Now, Jesus came to earth and was absolutely perfect, right? He could look in the mirror and say, the world is blessed to have me here today. Well, what did the only perfect man in history ever go through? Much worse than you and I have ever gone through. And so why should we, his followers, think we deserve any less? God knows we're frail. This is a wonderful part about this growing and building us, because we're not complete. God knows we're frail, and that growing is a part of his plan. He allows us to grow. He's glorified when we grow. And just the fact that he allows us to grow lets us know that he knows we're not there yet, right? That's a blessing. If God allows us to grow, that's a blessing, because we know he doesn't, in one sense he demands perfection, but in another sense he doesn't. It's his grace, because he knows we're frail. He knows we'll never be what we should be, but he's growing us to be like his son. His mercy abounds, his grace abounds all the time on the path of walking from the start. But the thing we have to get is the growth never leaves the start. No one comes along and says, hey, you didn't get this, you didn't get this, you didn't get this. Here's the secret I learned. You have to do this and this and this to really know Jesus. No, you got everything that you needed. Have you ever planted a seed and hoped you'd never see that seed again? Stupid, right? So here's a seed. I'm going to put this seed in the ground, and you just hope with all your heart that that cucumber's not going to come up out of that ground. You put a whole roll of cucumbers, a whole roll of tomatoes, a whole roll of turnips, a whole roll of... Yeah, I lost my turnip man. I'm trying to get Kenny to be my turnip man. He ain't going to have anything to do with it. Do you ever plant a garden and you go out there, Lord... I just pray that I will never see these seeds again. I want to come out here in 2 weeks and see this dirt. No, you put the seed to what? You want to see that seed again, and it's what? Transformed form from what? The seed. The seed was the start. The seed grows as it's fed by the water, by the sunlight. And you want to see that seed again. It's crazy. The same thing with God. He started us. He put the seed within us. And he wants to see us again in a transformed state through all of those things that we mentioned. You don't start a building and build a foundation here and go, you know what? There's the foundation, but I think we're going to build over here. You know? Okay, we made $90,000 worth of property back then. Who knows what it would be today? That was in the 70s they built that. Here's the two big squares for the World Trade Center, but you know what? I think we'll build over there. Crash. It's ridiculous. So you don't grow from a different place where you started. So you don't let anybody come in and tell you, which he'll amplify as we go through next week. Never, ever, ever has there been at 2 a.m. in the dirt a rebellious green bean. Never has there been a green bean who decided to rebel. And he went through the dirt when you were sleeping, and he convinced a bunch of other green beans to join him in the rebellion. So they dig their way out of the ground. And then they move their way over to the watermelon patch because they're a lot bigger than green beans. They got a couple shades of green, and it's orange on the inside, and people love to eat them. Not everybody loves green beans, right? All right. Silly, but you get the point. Don't leave the ground where God planted you. Don't let some TV preacher or some ding-dong author of a book or whatever tell you that if you don't do this, you're not going to be saved. And if you don't follow this regiment, God doesn't love you. And whenever they try to teach you, no, you stay in the ground you were planted, the gospel that we've learned. Jesus Christ died, was buried, he rose again, he's coming again. You're a filthy, rotten sinner. You have no hope apart from him. His death on the cross is your only hope and his resurrection. And he calls you to repent of your sin and to place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to keep the law, which we'll get to. You don't have to wear a certain kind of clothes, have your hair parted a certain way. You don't have to do a lot of things. But your life that started will change because your growth comes from your roots. All right, the third one. Your unwavering comes from your learning. Another passive tense verb. Notice what else he says. Whoops. Your unwavering comes from your learning. As you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, command, having been rooted and being built up in him and established, having been established, passive, in the faith. You have already been established in the faith. Bebaiao is the word, which simply means unwavering, being strong, being immovable, being solid, being firm. And the faith here is referring to the apostles' teaching, the apostles' doctrine. You already have been established back here in the ground of the roots where you already learned in the gospel as you were taught. Not what these people that are coming along to you in church telling you. You've already been established in the apostles' doctrine, which is the same thing we teach today. And anything else that you learn has to be consistent from the beginning. So if you're listening to the radio preacher, the TV preacher, you go get a book, somebody, if you know the word, red flags come up, and it's not hard. It's not hard to see, well, that's not right. That's not right. I even see bumper stickers, and I go, well, that ain't right. That ain't right. You know, some of them, they sound so religious, but that's not right. That's not right at all. God is my co-pilot. What's wrong with that? Who's God? The pilot. I was at an airport for years. You know what the co-pilot did? Well, actually, he did everything the pilot didn't want to do. He was the grunt man. He had to check everything. He had to get the catering. He had to go outside and sweat in the sun and look at everything while the pilot just walked in there and said, all right, we're going to leave now, or whatever the case might be. Yeah. So we've been established in the faith. Somebody comes along and says, man, if you don't keep the Ten Commandments, you can't be saved. Wait a minute. Is that what you were taught? Is that what I taught you, Paul said? No. And by the way, you have to keep the Ten Commandments to be saved. How do you keep them? Jesus kept them for you already, and you're in him. That's how you keep them. You can't. He did it for you. John MacArthur said, if you know the truth, any system of error is going to collapse in the face of the truth. That's true. It is very, very hard to dupe me biblically. Now, there are times I got to go, let me think about that. But it's very hard, and I'm not saying I'm up here as a scholar. Believe me, I'm not. But it's very hard to to fool me. And I hope you're the same. It's just years of studying God's word, and I still have so much further to go, but the foundation is so simple. It's so true. One scholar said the hallmark of the Holy Spirit's work in a believer's heart is an unquenchable thirst to learn. That's pretty good. You see, we have been established in the faith just as you were taught. Some say, you don't need teaching anymore. You just need me to get up here and get you fired up. You just need a motivational speaker, right? That's what you need. You see, I know what you're thinking. You just need a motivational speaker. I just need to come in here, and I don't need to really teach you. We don't need to learn about what a Greek word means, and we don't need to learn what a passage means, and we don't need to go from the first verse of a book all the way to the end. It doesn't really matter what the verse means. As long as I can grab a nugget of truth and get you fired up so you can go to work tomorrow just fired up for Jesus, right? I'm on fire for Jesus, all right? Now, it's not wrong with being on fire for Jesus, but I'm not really sure what that means. Does that mean I have to walk around and bounce around and be excited, or what does that mean? Nothing wrong with being giving your life for Jesus, but no, as you were taught. That actually means to be instructed. That actually means to be, have something explained to us. That actually means for my brain to start working. Some people think that you just bypass the brain and God just, he just gives you a feeling. I'm feeling it, baby. I'm feeling it. Woo! I'm fired up. We're going to have church. When I used to go to the jail, when I was able to go to the jail, I'd speak first and another guy second or vice versa. And there was one guy who was just, I mean, he was just like, he was bouncing around. And they knew this guy. And I'm a teacher and I didn't bounce around. But I remember hearing the jail guys, we're going to have church tonight. We're going to have church tonight, you know. That's they were because they knew he was going to be yelling and screaming and he would he'd look at them and he'd go like this, he'd back up and say, "You're not getting it, you're not getting it," and he would just I'd be over there going, "Oh Lord God, what's going on here?" But they loved it because to them it was just an experience and emotional. God doesn't bypass our brain. He goes through our thinking to get to our heart. He teaches us. God didn't spend 1,600 years writing these 66 books to bypass them. Why preserve them and write them and people die for them to just, we don't need that book anymore. I'm just going to go around your brain and through your heart. No, as you were taught, you learned something. You learned that Jesus was the Son of God and is the Son of God and Jesus is the Creator and Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead because the Father pleased to have that in Him. We learn that in Him all things consist. We learn what the gospel is. We learn. So our unwavering comes from being strong in the faith. It is hard to knock over strong people in the Word. That's why I put the palm trees up there, the swaying palm trees. You know, when God opened my heart and gave me life, there was a lot I didn't know. How about you? I don't think you have to know when God saved you. You look at your life, but I really believed I was saved at 10. And I remember it just down the road, which is irrelevant. But I really believe that is when God opened my heart because I remember experiencing a true change. Now, I didn't go into fifth grade and the teacher said, "Boy, Tim, what's that glow around your lovely little face?" Teacher, I can do math now because I'm saved, you know. No, I still was a little ornery ding-dong head or whatever, you know, or a cotton-headed ninny muggins or whatever that I was. But I remember a change. So, but you don't have to know the exact time. A lot of people don't. So don't make that a hang-up with you. You look at your life now. In fact, the ideal thing is to never know a time in your life when you didn't know Jesus. But anyway, there was a lot of things when I believe I was born from above, the moment, I just didn't know. I didn't have any idea. Now, I knew that I was lost and hopeless and helpless, and I was bound for damnation for eternity apart from the shed blood of Jesus Christ and resurrection for my soul. At 10 years old, I knew that, believed it, embraced it, and repented. I grasped that. Spirit of God opened my heart and allowed me to understand that. But there is a ton of stuff that I began to learn that I never, ever knew. I began to see more and more the depth of what God did for me. How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure. I didn't fully grasp that as a 10-year-old. I knew it, but I didn't fully grasp it. I began to learn great truths about Jesus, more and more about him and who he was, though I knew who he was, but I learned more, helping me to be more unwavering. I began to learn great truths like propitiation. Isn't that a great word? I should put you on the spot. What does that mean? But I began to learn propitiation simply means that God's wrath was eternally and fully satisfied by the death of his son. That's an awesome truth. That means I don't have to do anything for my salvation. God the Father satisfied in Jesus. He doesn't come and say, all right, Tim, today you have to go out and help 16 80-year-old ladies across the street, across First Avenue. Not 15, not 14, but 16. He paid it all. I learned redemption and substitution and total depravity and election, particular redemption, perseverance of the saints. I began to learn what mercy and love and grace and forgiveness means and what it looks like. I began to learn the overall story of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, which we're studying when we do our Wednesday night deals. I began to learn more and more about God himself. So the idea is our unwavering comes from the more we are taught, but it all goes back to the foundation of where we were taught. It was all there. You just didn't fully know it yet. It's like when a little baby's born and they're so cute and then they grow up, right? And all of a sudden, their nose gets bigger and you notice it and you're going, baby, stop. Stop, nose, stop, you know. But all that was in, isn't that fascinating how God did that? It's just, or you get that cute. Every one of us have been fooled by this one. You go and see that little puppy, right? Oh, they're so cute. And then before you know it, at first it's meep, meep, meep. Then all of a sudden it's woof, woof. And their paws are that big and they eat out of a 5-gallon bucket. And you know what I mean? But they were so cute. And then they had that little cute nose and all of a sudden that nose comes out. And well, all that was in them. It's the same thing with us. When I was saved, I couldn't have told you any of those things I just told you. I couldn't have told you propitiation. I probably would have thought it was a part for your transmission. I'm not sure. Didn't know. But the learning over time brings stability and sureness and an unwavering faith that people cannot come in and fool you and dupe you and lie to you. And when trials and heartaches and things come, you are firm and founded in your faith. There's no excuse for a believer to stay a baby. No excuse. You know the gateway arch sways 6 feet in either direction? I'm 6'4". So you're in that arch. And you can't feel it. At least I don't think I did when I was in it several years ago. But what does it not do when it bends? You can feel it. Doesn't break, does it? Have you ever been on a large plane and sat over the wing? Have you noticed what those wings do? They bend. In fact, they put them in tests where they actually, I mean, they bend them up and then they'll pop, they'll just break so they know. Well, in flight, they are designed to bend. What would happen in your flight if it didn't bend? It'd probably break. Yeah, it'd split apart. So the bending is a design. I know you'll never fly again, right? In hurricane force winds, palm trees just bend over like the picture, even more than that, and they can break, but most of the time, they don't break. They have deep roots. And that's the idea. And the gospel was the start, as we were taught. It gives us unwavering stability. And some people say, it'd be better if God just come talk to me face to face. No, it wouldn't. Because if that were better, that's the way it would be. Right? If that's the way it should be, and that would be better, right now, where we are now, God speaks to us through his Son, which is revealed in his Word. God doesn't come and speak to us face to face. He had in the past, Hebrews says, but now he has spoken to us in his Son. He gave us his written word, and his written word is his voice to us. Years ago, Oral Roberts. You know Oral Roberts, right? He was the guy that they said he could never play a record. And for you youngsters, a record is a thing that you could play music that had a hole in the middle, for those of you. It was black, had little lines in it, right? Had a little record player. And this is a terrible joke, but they said that he could never play a record because the hole in the middle was always being healed. So that was bad. He was a self-proclaimed healer. All right. I said it was bad, right? I was a kid when I heard that one. You know what? That is pretty good, though, isn't it? No, anyway. And we're almost done. But years ago, he claimed that God told him that if his followers didn't raise a certain amount of money, and I forget how much it was, but it was a ton of money, that God was going to kill him. God's going to kill me if you don't give me your money. And he needed the money for his medical center. I don't know about you, but here's a guy on TV that claims to heal everybody. You know how on TV, there's a person in Virginia now. His big toe's cramping. God's healing your big toe right now. You've seen that on TV, right? Why does a guy that claims to heal people need a medical center anyway? I never did put that together. I was just a kid when this was going on. I guess I wasn't as dumb as I thought it was, but if you're a healer, why do you need a hospital? And I've often thought this, I'm getting off track. And I'm in the hospital for 40 hours a week, and I see some pretty sick people. Right, Lisa? And I didn't get to push her around this week. This computer didn't give me her name. But I've often thought, all right, you faith healers, come to the hospital, and I will take you to the rooms, and you heal them right now. They won't do that. I do believe God heals, but not hitting you in the head and taking your money. But anyway, God told me, be very, very careful. You'll hear many popular preachers claim God told them this or God told them that. Why? Because the audience will think, oh my gosh, God told them that. It came from God. God told me that our ministry needs a $35 million Gulfstream 6 airplane. God told me that last night in a dream. We were walking together. It was by the mall in Washington, D.C. There was a light wind blowing out of the south. And Jesus came next to me and Jesus said, Brother Bill. And that's what you see. And people get out the checkbook and they write thousands and thousands of dollars. And get this, I used to care for those people when they came into our airport. And let me tell you this, they're living way better than any of us are. Gold, rings, diamonds. It was absolutely unbelievable. But get a guy that stands up and says today, we're going to preach out of two verses in Colossians, and I'm going to tell you what this means. Oh, really? What does God say? Give us something from God. Okay, God told me last night I was eating tacos at the Taco Bell. And people will just suck that in. God told him. But open up God's breath of what he really gave us. You see, your unwavering comes from being taught the scriptures. And it will make you strong. And as you study the New Testament, the emphasis over and over and over and over and over again is what? Be immersed in the word. Be immersed in the word. Be immersed in the word. Preachers, preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Rebuke, encourage, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Don't leave the word. Don't leave the word. You don't see. In fact, Peter even, who actually saw Jesus transform, remember that? On the Mount Transfiguration, Jesus said, we have a more sure word, the word God gave us, than that. All right, rabbit trail over. Okay, the last one I'll have to make real quick, because my big clock is telling me that the other church is going to show up soon. But your thankfulness comes from your humility, and this will be quick. Abounding in thanksgiving. Now, I'll be the first to admit that I'm not always the most thankful guy, right? How about you? You look very thankful today that we have one more point to go through. But look what he says. In fact, thanksgiving is all through Colossians. He says all of these things, but be abounding in thanksgiving. Parashuo is abounding. In other words, more and more. Go beyond what's expected. Bounce way high. Bounce high in being thankful. And this word is eucharistia, which comes from the word grace. Be thankful for God's grace. You bounce high for God's grace. You be lifted high for God's grace. You rejoice for God's grace. You be thankful. It's sad that we only emphasize Thanksgiving in November. Now, I'll be the first to admit I love that meal on that day. Yeah, and the one we have here, so that's two meals. And then you go to your other family, and then you get three meals. But it's sad that we only, you know, it's November. I guess I better be thankful. So we get on Facebook. It's day one. I'm thankful for my dog. Day two, I'm thankful for my car. Day three, I'm thankful for my husband. There's nothing wrong with that. Please don't. There's nothing wrong with sharing thanks. I'm not, you know, don't shoot me. But it is sad that we have relegated it. It's to be every day and thankful for what? God's grace. All that he's been telling these people. Are walking, are growing, are unwavering, are all done in the sphere of being thankful. Abounding and leaping. We're all around unhappy people all the time. They don't make enough money. They don't like their boss. They don't like their coworkers. They don't like their conditions. And on it goes. Do you realize as a believer in Christ, you will never step one foot into hell and burn forever? I don't know about you, but that ought to make us bounce a little bit, right? That ought to make us thankful. But it's easy to, I know it's easy to forget the reality. So we abound with a thankful heart that we have been forgiven and that we are saved. All right, let me land the plane real quick here. Start and park is never a part of God's plan for our lives. Never. He didn't start us whenever he started you and just say, okay, I'm done. I'm done with you. Oh, no. We have an exciting journey ahead of us. A journey of God building us because we have been established and growing us because he's given us roots and walking in him because he saved us and being thankful for all of that. So here's a couple of questions. Have you repented and is this Jesus your Lord? Or are you the Lord of your life? Have you been resisting God's working ministry in your life as he is building you to be like his son? Those hard times we go through, is God building us? But James says we're to accept that and use that and be thankful and rejoice. Are you resisting the hard times? Hey, I'll be the first wimp to admit I don't like the hard times. But you wouldn't be who you are today if it weren't for the hard times. Third, have you been a believer of the word continually growing in what you first were taught? Do you love the word? Do you pray, God, help Pastor Tim to see in the word this week as he studies. Help him to see because I need that. Do you open the word and read it? And if you can't understand something, you make a note of it and you send me an email or send John MacArthur an email, though you might not get an answer from him, but you'll get an answer from me eventually. It's amazing how I will every now and then get emails from people who I've pastored that who live in different cities, and they'll ask me questions. It's kind of cool. It's really kind of neat. They ask me Bible questions or whatever. Are you firm because you're in the book? If you believe you're sort of a wobbly person, I saw a guy walking in the hospital this week with a huge bandage over his head and his eye. He had a gown on and his shoes. And I saw him walking. He was kind of walking like this. And then I saw him get in the elevator apart from me. And somehow I was in the elevator or came back. And he was just going up and down and up. So I walked over there and I said, hey, let me see your tag. I said, let me take you back to your room. And his room number's not on the tag. So he told me a room that wasn't even a room. Okay, let's go. We'll go up to there. And we'll, you know, he was just walking around and here's your room. I said, you ought to stay in your room, all right? So I went and told the nurse. He was wobbly. Do you think you're a wobbly, unstable believer? Do little things knock you off easy? I'll guarantee you why. You're not growing in the word. You have been established as you were taught, and that growing comes from being taught and learning more and more, not just academically, but accepting it. Fourthly, real quick, does Thanksgiving characterize your life? If not, what's stealing it? Is there anything better than being saved eternally? There's nothing, is there? There's nothing. Now listen, I'm not saying that we don't weep and we don't hurt when life's hard. I'm not saying that at all. The Bible has the answer. I'm not saying that at all. But in the hard times, in the crying, in the weeping, in the questions, in the heartaches, there is a deep, deep foundation and thanksgiving that comes from sticking to the ground where he started you and growing and letting him change you. Father, thank you for just two simple verses today. Speak to our hearts now. I pray the Holy Spirit has awakened things in our own soul. If there's someone here today that's not repented of their sin, save them today. Someone here today, Lord, has not been a person of the book and they're immovable. Or if a person here is easily duped by fine-sounding arguments that we talked about last week, and person today that's not walking according to Christ, learning more of him, just help them to make good biblical decisions based on what you have already done in their life, and to never try to break away and go somewhere else, because our walk with you always comes from the start. Even though we have everything, we still grow and we still change. And Lord, forgive us when we're not thankful. All the time we fail. So help us to realize and understand more and more what it means that we will never face you as our judge. And when we depart this life or the trumpet sounds, we will be eternally and forever with you, never ever to sin again. So Lord, as we sing, speak to our hearts as we close our service today. In Christ's name, amen.